We're going to go to 1 Samuel 17, starting with verse 2. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. A valley between them. Let's skip down to verse 8. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that will fight, that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. I want to flip over to Psalms 121 and verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Jesus, bless us today as we come to hear your word. Minds and our hearts to understand and give us a desire to live for you above all else. We thank you for your presence this morning. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for the opportunity to be in one mind and one accord here again today in the greatest church in the world with the greatest pastor in the world. We thank you for your blessings. I ask that you touch this word today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Why don't you give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. Bump your neighbor as you're seated and tell him you look good in the house of the Lord. Welcome to all of our guests. So glad you're here. I want to talk just for a little while about look a little higher. Look a little higher. You're not looking high enough. Did you hear me? You're not looking high enough. One of the problems that we have as humans is that we usually operate within the realm of the five senses. Taste, touch, smell, your sight, hearing. And if we can taste it or touch it or smell it or hear it or see it, then it's really not there for us unless we can use one of these senses. And in most cases, I could begin to tell you of a juicy 16-ounce ribeye steak with baked potato, with all the fixings. And some of you would begin to think of Gowen's. If you haven't ever had a Gowen's ribeye steak, they are really good, by the way. They're right here in Sulphur. There's their plug. They don't pay me anything, but they're good. But if I begin to describe them, the juice, they're juicy, they're moist, perfectly seasoned. You don't need A1 or Heinz 57 or ketchup. And you have a big old baked potato fully loaded with sour cream and butter and chives and bacon if you like it. And just melt in your mouth. And then you follow it up with, they don't have this, but I don't know if they have this, never had it, but a big old piece of pie with some homemade Bluebell ice cream. Most of you sitting right here right now can picture that in your mind because you know what that is and you've had it, you've experienced it, it's good, and some of you are hungry. And I'm the only thing standing between you and lunch. But I'll be short and sweet. But you can smell it and sense it and taste it in your mouth right now because you've had it before, you've experienced it. And unless we see things or hear things or experience it for ourselves, it's difficult sometimes to see it. For this reason that we have so much trouble trusting God many times, it's simply because we cannot perceive him with our five senses. John 1 and 18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. The first problem that you and I have as humans is that we cannot see God physically. If Jesus walked down the aisle this morning and opened that door and came in, and that's Brother Charlie, that's not Jesus, I promise. But if he came in the door just like Brother Charlie and walked down this aisle, what would you do? Oh, God, you're real. Ooh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Because you could physically see him it would change something in your perception. If we could see God, we would have no trouble truly trusting Him. If we could hear Him speaking to us in an audible voice, we'd be much more inclined to put our faith in Him. And many times you and I, we feel like Job. Look at Job 9:32. For He is not a man as I am, that I should answer Him, and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay His hand upon us both. He's not visible to you. He's not physically there in your face talking to you. And because I can't see God or hear Him or touch Him, it's easy for me to forget that He is near. It's easy for me to forget that He desires to work on my behalf. The second problem that we have is that we can see our problems. Our problems are very real. They're very tangible. You can see that bill. You can see that flat tire. You can see that blown engine or lost job. You can see these things. You can touch them. You can see them. They assault my five senses on a regular basis. I can see them. I can hear them. I can touch them. They're so very real to me. My problems, your problems. They occupy your horizon. They invade my serenity. They dominate my thoughts, and they plunder my peace of mind. They are ever before us, mocking us. Oh, you thought you had, but what about this? They greet us in the morning. Their bellowing challenges echoing across the valleys of despair, day after day, belittling us, make us shake in our boots and reminding us that we are not in control of our own destiny, but at the mercy of their whims. It could be anything, and it could be everything. And when most of us look into the valley and see our giant standing there, that's where our gaze stops. We see the problem and that's it. We stop with our focus on the problem, and we forget that standing behind our problem is a God who is greater than any problem that you or I face. He is bigger than any mountain that we have to climb. He is stronger than any enemy that comes against us. I say to you today, stop looking at the problem and begin to look a little higher at the problem solver. His name is Jesus. He can meet your needs. He can test you and try you, and you can go through this valley and you can come out on the other side a better man, a better woman. Why? Because you stop looking at your problem and begin to look at the problem solver. Raise your eyes a little higher. Look a little higher. Get your eyes out of the valley and look to the hills. In our text today, a very, very familiar text, we find David coming to the battlegrounds, and he's bringing food to his brothers and his brethren. And now, by this time, you got to understand where we're at in the Bible, in the battle. One enemy is on one mountain, the other's on the other, and there's this great valley between them. And by the time David arrives on the scene, Goliath, he's already been stepping out into this valley and breathing threats against the people of God for 40 days. For 40 days, they had been bombarded by this massive threat and this massive problem in their minds. And for 40 days, Saul and his mighty warriors would focus on this Philistine gargantuan, and that's where their gaze would stop. They could never get around his threats or his size or the booming of his voice as it echoes across the valley like thunderclaps. They could never bring themselves to believe that the promise of God that He would deliver them from this uncircumcised Philistine, because they were looking down into the valley at their problem. They could never get their gaze above the valley, above the problem. It filled their horizon, and that's where their focus, that's where their hope, that's where their faith, that's where their courage stopped. Where did your faith stop? Where did your courage stop? Where did your hope stop? Where did your focus stop? But here comes a little boy who is too naive and too full of the Spirit of God to bow to this problem, no matter how big he might be. David never called Goliath a giant. He never called him a giant. Now here's the kicker. Saul and his army and David, the little boy, They were all looking at the same problem. Every one of them was looking at the same, a whole nation and this little boy were looking at the same problem. Yet Saul decided that the giant was too large to eliminate, and David never even called him a giant. Saul's gaze stopped on Goliath, but David said, I'm going to look a little bit higher. I'm going to look a little. You can't stop with the problem, but I'm going to proceed to the problem solver. Your problem, Saul, and my dear brothers that I've brought food to, and a whole army of Israelites, you're not looking high enough. You're not looking high enough. Our problem lies in the fact that we can't see what God is doing through carnal eyes. Can I tell somebody this morning, he's working on your behalf. You might not know where it's coming from. You might not know when or where or how, but God will not leave you or forsake you. Allow him to work through your problems and your situation. He's not going to take you out of your problem, but he'll see you through your problem. He'll see you through the storm. The other night, we were coming back from dropping off the kids, and there was hail and wind and rain, and it was horrible weather. And Anna asked, she said, well, do you think we should pull over? And I said, no, we'll keep going. I said, you wouldn't like this. You might like this in a ship, because in the ship, you can't pull over. You're stuck in it, and you just plow through it. You don't turn and run. You don't turn sideways. You point the nose of that ship into the storm, and you see your way through it. One inch at a time sometimes. And the waves will be over the top of your head and the front of the ship won't go over the wave and come. You ain't riding because they call them stacked up. And they get stacked up and they get tight. So you have a 60-foot wave and an 80-foot wave and a 30-foot wave and then a 100-foot wave. And it's coming over the top. And the front of the ship will bury into it. And you think, oh, I'm going to sink. And you power down because if you don't, you're going to plunge the ship downward. But if you let off, and then when that nose gets out and you begin to see daylight, you power into it, it'll just shudder, just like that. And you'll come out the other side, and you'll make it home. Not because you ran from the storm, not because you said, oh God, get me out of this storm, which I have prayed, but because you just kept doing what you knew to do. You kept moving forward. You kept moving. You kept pressing towards the mark. You kept moving towards that goal line. You knew on that other side, there's a port, there's a safe harbor. We can make it. I can sleep in a warm sheets tonight and have a hot shower. I'm going to make it. Why? Because I'm not running from the storm. I'm going to plow through the storm because God is at my side. No matter what problem you're facing, no matter what you're going through, if you'll just give it to Jesus, look to the problem solver. When we look through the eyes of the flesh, the problems dominate. But it's only when we look through the eyes of the Spirit that we can see God and what God is doing for us. In 2 Kings, Elisha is in Dothan, and the king of Syria was hunting him down. And someone tells the king that Elisha was in Dothan. And so he sneaks in the middle of the night, and he surrounds Elisha's abode and his place where he's dwelling. And when Elisha's servant arose in the morning, this is what he found in 2 Kings 6 and 15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host come past the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? Huh, we're in trouble. There's hundreds of them. What are we going to do? And that's where his gaze stopped. He could see the physical. He could see the masses of armies and the swords and the spears and the chariots and the horses and the men wanting to kill them. His servant was looking down at the problem. He couldn't see a way out. He couldn't see how God could possibly be able to deliver them. But Elisha steps out on the porch and he looks at the enemy and then he raises his eyes a little bit higher. And he's simply saying to his servant, son, you're not looking high enough. And in verse 16, and he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And in verse 17, Elisha, he prays and he said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. He didn't say, Lord, help me. What am I going to do? Oh God, this problem's too big. No, he prayed, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses, of chariots, of fire round about Elisha. If you stop looking when your eyes rest on the enemy, you're going to miss the chariots of fire that are protecting you and there for you. You're not looking high enough. If you'll raise your gaze, you'll see that God is still in control, and he's working in the realm of faith beyond the human view. To the human view, some of our lives look messed up. Some of our decisions look messed up. But to God, hold on. Hold on. Look a little higher. It was while walking on the water towards Jesus that Peter looked down, and the Bible said that he saw the wind boisterous. If that's where his gaze would have stopped, he would have drowned. But when he looked up and began to focus on Jesus again, he was saved. If Abraham would have considered his own body now dead and feeble and old, he wouldn't have had the faith to believe God for a son. But he looked beyond the circumstances and got a hold of the promises of God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." You know, The problem with sight is perspective. It's perspective. In fact, the problem with every relationship and situation and trial in your life is perspective. I can stand outside on a clear, beautiful, full moon night, and I can hold my thumb up to the heavens, and I can block out the entire moon with just my thumb. I can block it out of my view. I can block it out. The entire moon, it has a diameter of over 3,475 kilometers across. But I can make it disappear in a moment with my thumb. And that's how we see our problems. Sometimes they're so far off, we forget about them. Or we think we can ignore them and they will go away like the moon behind our thumbs. And on the other hand, this little baseball that I have here today, Rawlings. I can hold it right there, and I can't block it at all because it's right in my face. And my thumb, that little thing right there has less than a 3-inch diameter. My thumb can't block it out. Over 1,000 times smaller than the moon. Yet it's impossible to block with my thumb. Just a little baseball. It's impossible for me to focus on anything but this ball. It comes between my relationships. It comes between my conversation. It comes between me and God. It comes between my family. It comes between my church because it's right here in my face. It's right there, and I can't block it with my thumb, and it's impossible for me to focus on anything else but the baseball that's right here because it won't go away. And even though I see out of my periphery, I still see the baseball. I still see the problem. It's still nagging me. It's still haunting me. I go to church, and everything is supposed to be okay, and I come down, and I get prayed for, but I go home, and it's still there. It's right in my face. It just never stops. It's impossible for me to focus on anything but the ball because my perspective is skewed. These are the valley problems that I'm referring to. We get so caught up in them. Every minute of our lives become wrapped up in our perspective of our problem. We see these problems and we try to figure out solutions, but it seems like the more we try to block out the problem, the bigger and scarier they become because we begin to dwell on the negative. We begin to dwell on the problem. This is the problem with trusting in our own sight. Perspective gets in the way when we see the problem is too big. David didn't see the giant. Elijah didn't see the king's army surrounding him. They saw the problem solvers. Yes, they may have viewed the sights with their human eyes. Yes, they could see in the valley and see, hey, there's a big dude down there. But at some point, faith took over and allowed their view to change to something that goes beyond human perspective. And when we begin to allow God to step in, He replaces our human perspective with His promises and with His word. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell somebody this morning, you can make it. You can live for God. You can save your family and teach them the word of God. You can live in right relationship with people around you. But you've got to change your perspective. Your perspective. If I walk by sight, I'll be discouraged all the time, living in fear, my problems dominating my life. But somewhere along the line, I have to start looking through the eyes of faith. 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 Will people let you down? Anybody can testify people will let you down? Anybody here got a problem that you're dealing with right now? I want to see your hand. Anybody got a problem? Man, we got the best church in the world. Nobody got a problem. Yeah, we got problems. We have issues. We have things going on. There are questions. There are decisions to be made every single day. Perspective. I need to get my gaze out of the valley and start looking into the hills. Stop looking down and start looking up. Stop looking at the problem and start looking at the problem solver as they come this morning. I know many of us are facing very real problems today. Financial problems, health problems, spiritual problems, relationship problems. And to us, these problems are giants in our lives. And they have us sitting in our tents like the whole nation of Israel was, afraid to come out. I don't want you to misunderstand me. I'm not minimizing the problems today that you and I are facing. They are real. They are perplexing. There has to be decisions, and some will be good and some will be bad. They are real problems. But I'm simply asking somebody here today, as you stand to your feet, I'm asking you to look higher. I'm asking you to lift your gaze just a little bit and just give God a chance. Just say, God, I'm giving this to you. God, I don't understand why. Can I tell you, most likely you probably never will. Stuff happens. Is it fair? No. Should it have been done different? God, I'm trusting you with this. I'm not going to lose out in being in right relationship with Him because of people around me. And I don't want people around me to lose out of being in right relationship with Him because of me. Did you catch that? It's a two-way street. It's a give and take. We've got to be in right relationship with Jesus. I'm asking you to look higher. You don't have to change your view much. David was looking at the same giant that the Israelites were. All of the disciples were in the same boat when Peter got out of the boat and decided to step out by faith. Elijah's, his servant saw doom and gloom. It's not about your perspective or how deep and overwhelming your problem becomes. It's about praising your way through it. It's about stepping out by faith and saying, God, I'm going to give you an opportunity to work this out. I'm just going to point in the right direction and hold on. Hold on. Hold on. I'm going to trust you, God, that you're going to bring me through this and make a way. Walking by faith, not by sight. Look a little higher. Look a little higher. You've rested your gaze on the problem long enough. It's been with you constantly. Everywhere you turn, everywhere you go, it's there. Can I give you a hint from a young, dumb man that's just human? There's much wiser people that's listening this morning. But I figured this out. Problems are always going to be there. I fix one and another one pops up. Welcome to life. It's about my perspective. I can leave it right there. I can say, hey, greater than he that's in me than he that's in the world. Get behind me. I'm not going to worry about it. It's still there. But now I'm allowing God to handle it because I'm walking in right relationship with him. I know there are many families and problems and situations represented here today. I wonder if you would grab the hand of your neighbor right where you are and step out into the aisle and make your way to the front. And what you're saying is, God, I'm giving my problems to you. God, I'm giving these issues to you today, this Sunday. I don't understand it all. I don't know why he said what he said or she said what she said or my employer did what they did. Or I don't get it, God, but I'm giving it to you today. That's beautiful. Make your way to the front. Now with that hand, I want you to lift it to heaven and just begin to call out to God. God, I love you. I surrender to you. I submit to you, God. I give it all to you right now. Whatever the problem is, whatever the situation you're facing, just give it to Jesus right now. Jesus, you take control of my heart. You take control of my life. Lord, I want to live in right relationship with you. No matter what happens, no matter what anybody else says, I've got to make it to heaven, God. And I want to be in right relationship. Lord, now this hand I hold right now, God, I'm asking you to bless them. Come on, pray for your neighbor. God, touch them right now. Give them strength to stand. Give them faith, oh God, to have the victory. Give them faith, Lord, to see beyond human sight and human perspective, God, but to see a way out through you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus right now. God, I ask you to touch my heart, touch my life. Come on, just call out to Jesus. Lord, touch our church. Open the eyes of my heart.
Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see
you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your love.
I want to see you.
Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you for your word, God.
Open the